Today we begin a sermon series entitled, Humble Yourself in the Sight of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me first of all, if you will, to James chapter 4, and look with me at verse number 6. We're going to hit a few scriptures, about five, before we settle in to this part of the series. And this sermon number one is entitled, The Whole Heart, W-H-O-L-E, not a hole in your heart, but the whole heart. Beginning James chapter 4, verse 6, we read these words, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth, I can't even say it, resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then look down at verse number 10 of James 4. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, if you'll go forward a few pages, go to 1 Peter with me, or a page over, and look at me at chapter 5, and at verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And then the next verse, read it out loud with me. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. All right, let's go to the Old Testament. Go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And we want to look at verse number 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Father, thank you for your word today. It's such a blessing to see everybody with a Bible in their hands. And I pray that what we preach this morning will touch their hearts and cause them to attempt to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world with their whole heart. And they'll do so being humble before you, and Lord, be granted humility by the Holy Spirit to do so. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, significantly, we are here looking at another praise song when we look at Psalm 9, of which there's many throughout the Psalms. Distinctly, this psalm is known as one of the triumphal psalms or psalms of triumph. In this case, this is a psalm that may have been written by David after one of the victories of which God had led David to win. Particularly, for example, one like the snatching of victory from Goliath the giant. That was a victory, was it not? And it may have been that with the defeat of an enemy such as Goliath of Gath, this would prompt David to write a song like this. Once again, this psalm will be sent to the chief musician with instruction. If you look right there under the Psalm 9 at the top of the page, it may be in yours, I don't know. But the instruction says it's to be sung on Muthlaban, if I'm saying it correctly, Muthlaban, which some have conjectured that this was possibly an instrument that David had seen and heard of all places down in Gath, where Goliath was from. However, Muthlaban is rooted in the Hebrew word used for death and the word for heart or inner man. Though there isn't any particular commentary pressing an exact meaning for on Muthlaban, it may mean to sing it then with heartfelt intention if it is the Hebrew word used for death and the word for heart or inner man together. In other words, you're to sing it with your very soul, if you will. Now, listen to this. This is very important. Significantly, as you read this psalm, this is what David is asking for as a result of the Lord having shown David, I believe anyway, his greatness and goodness. Not David's greatness and goodness, but God's greatness and goodness. And that greatness and goodness God had shown toward David, having showered David with his generosity and graciousness. The Lord's work in and around David had caused David to exuberantly proclaim, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. After this victory, or for whatever God has done for him, whenever God had done it for him, it was so magnanimous that David has to say, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I can see doing that. I've done that a few times myself. I've done it several times right here in this building. So overcome by some of these hymns that we've sang. I've done it in my car, riding down the road and be listening to some great song on the radio. I mean, come on. If you know the Lord has been good to you, it ought to make you say that all the time, shouldn't it? That's the only reason we can ascertain that that would cause David to say such a thing. It was the magnitude and majestic grace of God in his life. And it's brought from him a profusion of praise. Though it's only 10 words, it is a statement that reeks of awe-inspired worship of the Lord, who has set David on fire with his majestic ways, which has overwhelmed him with the full attack of can't help it. This reeks of somebody who's just absolutely overcome with the workings of God in and around him. This is incredible. Hey, this might even have been a soul-stirring, spirit-lifting time out in the wilderness attending to his father's flocks. This may have been shot out of his mouth in the middle of the night as he watched all the stars above him. This might have been the time that he killed a bear. He killed a lion. But it's awe-inspiring. It makes him cry out, I will praise thee, O Lord, on Saturday the 21st with my left hand and right foot. No, he says, underline your Bible, with my whole heart. The rest of this psalm flows out of those 10 words. What do we have in such a praise? Well, you know I'm going to tell you. What we have here is a 10-word statement that brings a smile to the face of the great 3-in-1. Did you know that? What we have here is a statement, a 10-word statement that brings a smile to Almighty God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We have a 10-word proclamation that sets all of heaven to cheering. A 10-word weapon of mass destruction that sends the devils of hell scurrying for cover. That makes the devil shriek and his minions scream in pain. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart in spite of the devil. And he can't stand it. Hurts his ears. Sends him running. Can you imagine how this one statement makes the sovereign God of the universe feel? He who loves his children with an overwhelming love has his spirit lifted with such words. He who dotes on his children anyway hugs them tighter when they respond to him with such profusions of praise. How wonderful is that? That God would be so absolutely overwhelmed by 10 words. But June is so. I got overwhelmed one night with just 2 words. I do. I still ain't recovered. However, this 10-word statement goes so much deeper than you may actually realize. This is the first time these words have been said, if there is any chronological order to these first 9 Psalms. If they are, it could be that David has said these 10 words as a result of what the Holy Spirit has shown him thus far. When you read or reread those first 8 Psalms, and I know you will, you're going to make it a point to do so after me telling you to, you will read a lot of awe-inspiring things recorded in those first 8 Psalms. Psalm 8 alone would surely show you what could cause a profusion of praise from David. But though they may not appear to be of any real consequence, these 10 words are incredibly unique. Now the question would come, well, why are they unique? Because I don't believe that David is speaking of his heart as you would think of that muscle in your chest here. I don't think he's talking about his heart. Or just his soul and spirit as it would well up in emotion as he might use these 10 words here. Rather, I think that David has come to understand, listen very carefully, I think David has come to understand and see the thrice holy Jehovah Lord God throughout those first 8 Psalms as he truly is, and rather than him just mouthing that he would praise the Lord, David is in fact saying most emphatically that he will praise the Lord as a result of what he's come to know. And he's not going to do so with just his heart, though that's what he's come up with here. He's talking about his entire being, which in true definition would be every aspect of his existence. Literally every aspect and area of his life, to include the totality of his senses, his thoughts, his movements, his relationships, his expectations, his experiences, etc., and not just his speech. He praises out of the depths of his soul and spirit, no doubt. But from now on, it would come from his entire existence. Everything that he's going to do will be a praise to the Lord. Honestly, you're not going to believe this, but in essence, David is saying in verse 1, I surrender all. That's what he's saying. With his all, in all of what and who he was within the arena of his existence, with the absolute totality of his existence, he is going to praise the Lord. Have I made that clear enough? But it is even deeper than that, in truth. Wait a minute, Brother Darrell, you got his whole existence caught up now. How could it be any deeper? In truth, his praise would not be just in words, but absolutely with real-time action. Not just here or there or once in a while, but as he himself declares in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Again, in Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, which again would be the totality of his existence. But it seems to me here that not only is he saying this, he's looking for ways to do this. You can tell me you love me, but when you show me, oh, that thrills my soul. And when that genuine show me is genuine, I genuinely will be moved. Actions speak louder than what?
Words
every time. In Hebrew, the word lave, if I'm saying it right, which is most likely where Laban has its basis out of that word mutlaban in the introduction of this psalm, runs the gambit of definitions listing everything from the inner man to knowledge, inclination, resolution, determination, character, appetites, emotions, and passions. So when it's on mutlaban, it's literally a host of different things, which would be the entirety of anyone's being. And that's just a short list. I ain't going to read the whole list to you. We got to do the Lord's Supper here in a minute. David declares that his life would praise the Lord in every facet of it. Might I say, even his sleeping time would be a praise to the Lord. It is David's saying, as full-fledged, fervent follower of the Lord, that he would be, here it comes, a vibrant, vocal, visual vision of the Lord with his life. You have to believe this is so, as David himself would say in Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. His will not be just a Sabbath day life thing, but a real time, all the time, living for the Lord, making his life an absolute praise to the Lord. I know, I'm repeating myself over and over here, but this is the Spirit-filled life. That's what the Spirit-filled life is and does. Jesus is not way down here in the list of your life. He's number one in your life. And as a result of him being there and you watching what he's doing there in your life, you can't help but praise him for all these things. So David has made this proclamation, and I believe he's done so by the operation of the Holy Spirit to bring him to the senses of it. I remind you that this is scripture here, and it's God breathed. These 10 words and all of Scripture for that matter comes from the heart and mind of God. Breathe into us and the men of old who have written it down for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. These words that are spoken are a provocation of the Holy Ghost. This is akin to the story of John the Baptist. To get a sense of this, we can look to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, who, when Mary shows up carrying Jesus in her womb, John the Baptist jumps in her womb. Luke 1:15 says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb," talking about John the Baptist. And then there comes that day when Mary shows up. And it comes to pass in verse 41 of Luke 1 that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth then was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here, by the work of the Holy Ghost, David has birthed in him the very sensibilities, if you will, of God, Jehovah God, in all his wonderments, and his omniscience, and his omnipresence, and his omnipotence all around him. And believe me when I say it, it may not be David here talking in a real sense of it. Oh, it's his mouth, it's his larynx, his vocal cords. But that may be the very voice of the Holy Ghost speaking through David. Psalm 22:3 tells us, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. In other words, you live in those praises. That's where the Holy Ghost resides. Psalm 40, verse 3. "And he, the Holy Spirit, hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Psalm 51:15. "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." O Lord, open thou my mouth. Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," is not something that just someone repeats. Something comes about that makes them say it. Psalm 102, verse 18, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." Well, how is that going to be so? By the Holy Ghost, when he saved you and came into you, suddenly you're able to come to church and every once in a while go, "Hallelujah," with one hand up. And think, beloved, David's full sellout to the Lord has to be the intention here, especially after such a grand praise is found in Psalm 8 from the lips of David and carried forth almost as an epiphany that provokes this psalm. And I believe continues on here, and many believes this, I believe, runs into and through Psalm 10. Through these two psalms, it's that constant refrain that's just banging away. And I think it's the Holy Ghost all the way. I love that song that we sing here a lot. "All the way my Savior," what? "Leads me." leads me. All these songs we sing, yeah, we're sitting here, yeah, we're reading the words, yeah, we're singing the songs. But truly, if the Spirit is in this place, then it is Him putting to the fruit of our lips the very power that brings them forth in any manner that would ever touch our souls. Of course, some suggest that David's praise here comes as a result of what God allows him to prophetically see in the future. Actually, what he's saying hallelujah about here is what he sees in the future. And I don't have no problem with that. John Phillips, for instance, believes that Psalm 9 and 10 are prophetic psalms. He believes that as David is as a prophet, as much as others here in the Old Testament, David is given vision of future events. And as such, in Psalm 9 and 10, a vision of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has shown up before him, and he yells out, "I will praise thee, O Lord." I mean, come on. If the Lord opened up your brain, let you see some of the future things coming, you either say, "Oh me, oh my," or "Praise the Lord." It'd shock you. By the way, just for the sake of doing so, and I got to hurry along, but I think it's appropriate to do this right here. Go to Revelation with me and go to the very first Revelation, chapter 1 rather. I want you to see something here that a lot of folks don't take in consideration. First of all, the Lord Jesus himself says to John, verse 8, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, on down in verse 11, he says again, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last," and tells John to write this letter or to take this letter that he's going to dictate to him and send it to the seven churches in Asia. And then John, verse 12, turns to see the voice that was speaking to him. And being turned, he sees seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's Jesus. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now look verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." It was so majestic too. Now John had saw him before. Was with him 3.5 years. Saw him in his post-resurrection body. Oh, but let me tell you something. This is the warrior king he meets here. And it's so majestic. He falls down dead. "And the Lord laid his right hand upon John, said unto him, Fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." My goodness, did you see what happened there? So if Phillips is right about the details of this, then maybe David has been allowed to see the Great Tribulation, Armageddon, the millennial reign, etc., etc. At least Phillips believes that he did. And if he's right, the vision would sure cause David to praise the Lord with his whole heart, wouldn't it? Yes. I mean, it would me. Steve was doing a class on eschatology. And he had students all the way over in Australia online. We was all on together, and some things he said caused me to do the same thing. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that's going to happen like that. How wonderful. The words are, "I will praise the Lord." The work of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth was the same in the Old Testament as it is now here in the New and for us. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." The emphasis is that he will glorify the Lord, whom the Holy Spirit shows these things of our Lord. And David had the Cain help us. And if you'll read it for yourself and see it, you won't be able to help it either. You will say, "I will praise the Lord, and I'll do so with my whole heart." At least I hope you will. Just real quickly, I ended this entire psalm last time I preached it, at least out of this first verse, with a whole bunch of verses. And I'm not going to be able to cover them all, but if you'll go back to the psalm and look at Psalm 7, let me just read how David has got his fire lit. In Psalm 7, verse 17, he says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. He sings some things about God that he realizes this is not happenstance, it's not chance, it's just not anybody. This is Jehovah. He says, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You can flip forward fast enough, I'll hurry along. Psalm 34, 1. David says, after he changed his behavior for Abimelech, remember Abimelech, he was down there and he was acting like he was nuts. Well, while he's down there, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 103, 1 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, O my God, my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly do be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 146, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. And if you go to 1 Chronicles, and you don't have to, you don't have the time, look in chapter 29. If you do, though, verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's why you're to humble yourselves in the sight of God. Thank the Lord that he giveth more grace. But I'll tell you, he resists the proud. It's only to the humble that he gives grace. I think we ought to do our best to clothe ourselves in humility all the time and do our best to resist the proud. And take on ourselves the very cloak of humbleness before all men, that they may see our Lord. I'm convinced of what 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And for all that will, he will. Now, listen, we're living under grace. God blesses us in spite of ourselves. We get mercy that we don't deserve. We really, really do. I'm not a legalist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not. But I'll tell you something right now, and you listen very carefully. If you are a true believer, no one will have to tell you to humble yourself. No one will have to keep repeating it over and over. The Holy Spirit will indeed come into your life and cause you to live soberly, righteously, and godly. If you truly are saved, you'll quit living a life of sin and live for Him. All those things you're doing and you know it's wrong, you'll stop doing if you humble yourself in the sight of God. What's sad is sometimes In spite of what Scripture said, people go and do it anyway. But I want to tell you something. There's always a payday. One of the greatest sermons ever preached, and I can't even remember the guy's name. Steve might remember him. There's a payday someday. Do you remember that guy? I don't know. I don't know if it's Billy or not. But there is a payday someday. And sometimes the payday comes early. I've watched over the years, and every time that I got full of myself, God got in my pockets, blew holes in them. I think sometimes some of the things that happen to me the way Unos is because I got a little uppity and proud, didn't do some things I ought to have done. And by the way, the sin of omission is just as bad as the sin of commission. Some things I ought to have done, I didn't do. And boy, boy, you talk about a spanking. If you're His, He'll chastise you. Unless you repent. If He has to come and tell you about it, He'll chastise you. There's even a sin unto death. I don't know what that sin is. I got an idea. But I'm afraid to say so. So humble yourself in the sight of God. And He will lift you up. If you love Him in the first place, like you say you do, praising Him will be second nature to you.